It looks like it's 5:15. Unless there's any other reason to delay, we should get on with the study session, which I believe is going to include reviewing the Leonard Streets sewer project. So if that's going to be Bernie there, can you make the presentation?
Sure. So good evening, City Council. Tonight we have Rodney Langer. Some of you might remember him back almost a year ago. He made a presentation in helping us direct some of the findings of the sewer problems that we uncovered in the Leonard Streets area. Rodney is from David Evans and Associates, and they are leading the design of our sewer rehabilitation project and have been for the last number of months. I've asked Rodney to join us tonight. I think it's important that at this stage where we're starting to round a rather large corner here before the project gets underway, that I've asked him that he would give us an update and talk about any of the follow-up issues that might be remaining before we get started on this project. I did have a draft memo prepared to send out to all of you, and it was still missing a few pieces of information that I needed to integrate with Rodney, and he was still busy trying to get all those pieces together. Most of the memo, if not the entire thing, was centered around what you're going to hear this evening anyway. What I thought I would do is hold off and jot down any questions that might come up tonight to also include in that memo, since the memo will not only go to all of you, council, but will also be there for the general public. So what I'd like to do is turn this over to Rodney, since he is our lead designer on this project, bring us up to speed of where we're at, some of the things that are still holding him up as a result of some last minute information coming in, some of those things I'm sure you might hear about tonight, and what is our plan going forward here in the next few months or next few weeks to get this project underway. So at this point, Rodney, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Thank you, Bernie. Good evening, everyone. Just to remind or introduce folks to the scope of this project, the project all drains to a point on the east side of I-5 in the alley immediately north of G Street. All the sewers on the east side, the northeast side of the city, come together to a point there, cross under I-5 and continue west of the treatment facility. Based on a prior study, the improvements that we've recommended are a new sewer trunk starting about at 24 inch diameter, and that'll run parallel to I-5 to G Street. And then that will continue east to the truck route in at various points, reducing to 18 and then to 15 inch. Between 8th and the truck route, there are some segments of 15 inch. And so there's a little bit of hop and skip to complete some upsizing along the G Street alignment. A portion of the sewer comes south on 8th, and a portion of that is over capacity. And so we will be replacing a few blocks north of G Street, making a connection there to the new trunk in G Street. And then similarly, there's a trunk line that comes from the truck route area, a boblet around the west, south and west side of the school complex, and connects goes up Mitchell and Elm and 6th, and that kind of zigzags back and forth. We'll be making a connection there and replacing all of that sewer down around the school. There's also a couple segments up in the Customs and Border Patrol facility that have poor hydraulic conditions. There's a belly in the line, and so we're really looking to replace that. The survey is essentially complete. We've mapped as best we can all of the utilities. We have encountered a number of utility conflicts, particularly in the alleys. We'll be working with Bernie and the power group. Gas and communication, there'll be some short segments of those lines that'll have to be removed moved or temporarily set aside or coordinated with the sewer. So we've got that coordination ahead of us. We'll likely need to work with I-5 to get some limited access onto their right-of-way. The existing main is very close to the state right-of-way, nowhere near the traveled lanes, just in their property. So we've identified a path to work there. We've searched and searched and searched, and we're not able to find easements on a couple of private properties or on the school property. And so we'll be working to develop legal descriptions to set that straight. And then probably the biggest concern is throughout essentially all of the project areas, the soils are found to be really soft. And so we're working with the geotechnical engineer to how best to address that. We've had some recent dialogue and we'll be getting some more information. That's going to be a concern for shoring and will likely require 100% imported backfill material. The material that will come out of there was probably too soft and wet to be reused under the city streets. And that, of course, has a cost impact that we've attempted to work into our preliminary estimates. Speaking of costs, we still have a lot of variables to search through, but the plans and specs are at about 75%. At this point, our estimate, including sales tax, is approaching $6 million. We, at this point in our estimate, because we're not done with the design, I've added a 15% contingency, which pushes it up over $6.5 million to $6.7 million. Those are still works in progress. We are not representing that those are final. I'm just giving you a sense of the magnitude of those figures. The other thing I should touch on, we've been working with Stacy and her team on the permitting requirements. We have a draft SEPA checklist. The main piece, there's a little bit of environmental review we need to finish up, and there's an archaeological assessment in process, and that will round out the details we need to get the SEPA in front of Stacy and her team. Our schedule is we're planning and working hard to be bid ready toward the end of May. We're presuming that we'll have a relatively bidding period, and moving through council for notice to proceed in late June, early July. That should align well with the construction season for the deeper sections of the work where water is more of a concern than others. It's a big project, and so that will continue to push likely into October, maybe even to November with some of the final restoration. Obviously, once we get a contractor on board, they'll have more to say about the specific schedule and duration, but that's what we're seeing at this point in time. We've been working, there's another element that Bernie and Greg have asked us to consider is to see how we can incorporate some flow metering stations in the project. We'll be talking with staff this week about the impacts and feasibility of that. There's been a few elements here and there that are outside of our original scope of work. And so we're working on a change to that, and we'll present that with Bernie at an upcoming meeting. And just want to give you a heads up about that. I don't have a magnitude of that cost at this time. And also part of that is Bernie and Greg have asked us to consider how much construction support services we can provide once we get to that point in the project. So that's a pretty high level. Bernie, are there any areas you want me to touch on more that you can think of right away?
No, I think for right now, that gives it a sort of a clear perspective. I will add this, that I know a number of people are always wondering where we are on the ERUs, and we had set a limit of about 200 during this period. I don't have the exact count today. I was going to include that, and we'll include it in the memo. But I will just give you my guesstimate as these ERUs cross my desk that I think those affecting the lettered street, when I separate those that are over on the Semiahmoo side of Blaine, my guess, just keeping count of the ERUs going across my desk, I would think at this point is somewhere in the neighborhood of about 30 or 35, but I will get an exact count tomorrow. And as you can see from the discussions we had early on, when we anticipated that there was a buffer there that we could get this project done and not uphold or hold up any sort of ERU signings, I think we're doing pretty well as far as a number of the construction starts that we've seen come through Stacy Pratchner's group and the building permits and the subsequent ERUs. So I think we've still got our cushion there, and I think it's a good cushion considering what we see as far as the buildings going on and how many building starts that we've seen thus far at the actually beginnings of this project. So I guess right now, Rodney, we'll just start to take some questions by people of what might be remaining, what are some of the sticking points. As you heard Rodney mention, and I think I mentioned at the last briefing I gave, some of the soil conditions, even down deep, have come to surface, no pun intended, from the geotechs, and has shown us that perhaps some of the belling that we've seen, some of the up and down roller coaster that Greg Berg has pointed out to us in the early starts here, probably had to start with some of these bad soil conditions under the streets. And settling has occurred over the years. And I know we chatted off to the side with Rodney and Greg that perhaps some of these bad soil conditions had a lot to do with the belling that we've seen that has come to our attention. So Rodney, I'll just open it up, or Mr. May, I'll open it up for questions under your direction to see if there's any follow-ups.
I'll just pick from among all the hands that are raised to who gets to go first. Oh, that would be Garth.
Yeah, I just had a question regarding right-of-way. I know that we have existing lines through private properties, but is that going to be considered an acquisition process that we're going to have to go through? And does anybody anticipate there being any landowners that might seek to be compensated for the reestablishment of those easements?
I think it's mostly a legal question, Garth, because those existing easements have been there for a long time. I know Greg has already talked to the school district, and that should not be an issue. It's through the parking lot on the southwest corner. The sewer, for some reason, was routed through there, so I don't anticipate that to be an issue at all.
The southwest corner, so at the primary school?
Yeah, there's that kind of the
drive used to be that about right there used to be a driveway, and there was a bit of a gully in there, and there was a bunch of woods, and there was like two single family residential houses back there when I was in elementary school. So we're talking 40 odd years ago. So that's where it makes sense. If you think about what used to be there, it makes sense for the line to have gone there. Yeah.
It comes along Boblet, and then it goes into the parking lot, and then comes back out on Mitchell. Yeah. And so the other ones are up between G Street and the alley to the north. And there's an existing sewer there. So that I don't have the knowledge of that, but I think there's a legal issue there that would be explored as well. So if there was less than cooperation from the get-go.
Okay, Council Member Hill, you had a question?
Yes. ERU, tell me what that is again.
Oh, that's a house. It's an estimated residential unit.
Okay, that's one. And so one of my questions is, I probably asked over and over, but is everything on schedule to fulfill what we got going in East Blaine? Is it still on schedule? Are we behind? Are we ahead? I know you just explain that, but just, I guess, straight out, are we right where we want to be? Do we have someone looking also for a contractor that when we get done with this, say, well, I can't get a contractor for 6 months. Are we ahead of that?
We are behind on the design schedule, but I think at this point we're still going to be okay because of how wet things are. We don't want to get started too early. We do have some challenges to schedule with utilities and WashDOT. We're working hard to address those. In terms of contracting, it's a public works contract. And so there's really, other than advising the contracting community that this project is out there, there's not much we can do until it's officially advertised for bids.
Okay. And it's the first I've heard that it's now starting to lag. Why is that?
The challenge, both with our staffing, I mean, everybody we talk to is busy, just to be straightforward with you. And also, there's additional complications with the soil, the easements. We presume there are easements, so we've had to do more research, title research, and so forth. And so factors like that come into play.
Yeah, that, well, I just hope we can, the council, get behind us to where we can, we don't want to be late for these guys. We want to be ahead of them. And if they need, if you guys need help, you got to talk to us about need more help to do it, because we can't afford, this is the biggest project we've ever had going on in town. And we start delaying and there's so much stuff going on downtown that I can just see, better get some help.
I appreciate that and recognize the importance of it to the community for sure.
Yeah, my concern about the timing is that we're in a rapid inflation period of time. I'm just worried about the actual physical costs changing every 6 months. And so the sooner we start this, the sooner we'll get it done at the old pricing. Ryan, were you going to say something?
Yeah, when it comes to amount of homes that are going to be impacted, do we have an estimate?
With the construction?
Correct. How many homes are, I guess, in this path that are going to be affected, going to have their sewer temporarily cut off? And I guess what's going to be the game plan when that happens, when that portion is going to be replaced? Are they out for 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours? How long is that downtime?
Right. I'll give you a good example. There are two or three sections of alley work where there's narrow confines. The contractor will be required to have a sewer bypass plan where he sets up a temporary pump and pumps anything that's coming from upstream around his work zone. And that bypass assembly or facility will move with the construction work where they're replacing sewers in kind in place. For the property owners that are directly impacted, the contractor will need to work with them to minimize their discharges or to handle their discharges in the trench as they expose those particular side sewers. That's pretty common. And they'll be required to, I mean, we've already started an outline of public information, something that would be on a website, who to contact. Once we get the contractor schedule, we'll be able to tell people, okay, we're gonna be on your block roughly mid-August or whatever. We'll have that kind of information. And once the contractor gets to impacting somebody's access to their driveway or their sewer, they'll have a door hanger responsibility and that immediate point of contact in conjunction with the city's inspector.
Okay. And this, just so everybody knows, if they haven't seen the utility distribution for the city, there is a really cool map that Greg and Bernie sent to me not too long ago that lays out the electric, the sewer, and the water, where the lines are going, what properties are crossing over. So that's really helped me get a really good understanding of kind of where everything's going. So I highly recommend it to anybody who's wondering.
Yeah. And a fair amount of the work is in G Street itself where there's no sewer, and that'll be pretty straightforward without impacting people's connections other than local access at times.
All right, thank you.
So, but there are going to be interruptions to, like an individual residence might have their service interrupted while this work is being done. So what's the longest duration that an individual residence might have a lack of service due to this work?
Typically over the course of the day's work shift would be the longest, and probably within that, you know, they'll be working from one end upstream and come to their connection and either make a temporary connection for the day or connect it, and it'll keep going, you know.
Okay, that's great. I have a question that Michael, you might have the better memory on this. We saw a presentation sometime a year or two ago where you had the little remote control robot submarines down in our pipe systems here. What portion of the work that's upcoming on this project is in those areas that we saw the little videos for?
All of it, in fact. Okay. That presentation was recapping the issues in, I think it's roughly four locations to broadly speak about them, but then they all converge on the point that Mr. Langer mentioned.
And they're in particular in the neighborhood west and around the school. That's where they're particularly bad. And also those pipes up at the Border Patrol, those areas were where the bellies were most prominent.
Yeah, because you know, several times that little robot submarine was entirely submerged in places where it should have been floating on top of a half-filled pipe. And then at one point, I recall that there was an ingress of what looked like clean water, like possibly storm water, that had no business coming in there. So a lot of those things are going to be all smoothed over and dealt with correctly during this project. Is that correct?
That's correct. Those are the objectives of the primary objectives of the condition related elements. And then there's the capacity is the new pipe on G Street.
Great. Michael, you had something to add here?
I did. I wanted just for the council's benefit to know that council member Higgins has had some trouble with her Wi-Fi, but she has dialed in. So she is still here. And I just wanted to touch on Mr. Hill's question about the contractor, and Mr. Langer mentioned it's a public works project. And I just wanted to add a little more detail on that means that the project must go out to bid. And then the city, unless there is some extenuating circumstance, must award it to the lowest bidder. So we're not able to essentially shop for contractors, but we can, as Mr. Langer noted, let people know this is coming and this is out there when it is ready for bid. They watch for those things anyway, but that is one of the challenges with public development projects, is we have some limitations on what we're allowed to do.
Did other council members have questions? Garth?
Request. I was just hoping if a copy of the 75% design could be circulated to the council so we could take a look at that.
Yeah.
I can read it myself. So I'm interested. I want to see the project.
It's right now it's full of red lines, but when we get sure. That edition, we'll make that available to Bernie and
okay.
Show that at that point in time.
If you could send a map of that, what Ryan got there too, where it goes and all that, that'd be just email it to us, I guess.
Email it to Michael and then Michael can disseminate it, right?
Well, yeah, actually the map is probably not Rodney's map. It's probably our public works map.
Yeah, it's the same public works
map. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
Bernie does have a very simple map of the extent of the project that he perhaps could include with his memo.
We don't want to see it in the northern light.
were there more parts of this presentation coming, or was this it?
No, that was it. I did have a question for Rodney. Rodney, what are you seeing in terms of material acquisition and what's happening with supply chains and so on and so forth, since we're going to be ordering quite a bit of plastic pipe?
I haven't seen anything yet, given the relatively recent impacts on petroleum prices. So I don't have much data there. We did open bids a few weeks ago for a water main project down South Sound with PVC pipe. And it came in generally, you know, well within the engineer's estimate. So there was no surprise there. There's a concrete strike, but that really shouldn't affect you up there. We don't have a lot of it's precast, so no immediate concerns.
I'd like to ask a question that, you know, the councils of many decades past, you know, didn't ask a question like, are you sure that this asbestos pipe is going to be the best thing? Decades from now, will we be looking back and thinking we shouldn't have put in asbestos pipe? Have we learned anything about plastic pipes, PVC pipes, where there's any sign that 40 years from now, people looking back at us and thinking, what were they thinking? Is PVC holding up, and does it look like it's what the future? Is there anything on the horizon suggesting that right now we should switch to some other material for this while we have a chance?
No, there's no trend that I'm aware of for conventional sewer, sanitary sewer construction. There are, with any material, it's about its foundation and its bedding. It's a flexible pipe, and so we need to get a good bedding on it. And we need to be confident that the foundation is there so we don't get the repeat of the bellies. As Bernie said, that's why we're really making sure with the geotech we can be prepared for the conditions we're going to encounter out there.
Do we have any data on when PVC wears out from people who put it in, you know, when it started becoming more popular?
Not that I've seen that anyone has any concerns about it. It's, you know, You can probably find a range of estimated life, 50, 75, 100 years. PVC pipe it's pretty inert. As long as there's nothing to crack it once it's in, or that it loses its foundation. It's rubber gasketed. It's the state of the art in terms of preventing INI if it's installed correctly.
All righty. Do any other council members have any other questions about this presentation? Michael, is there any further agenda for this study session?
No, there wasn't. We just, of course, didn't know how many questions there would be. And
so there might have been more.
Right.
Okay.
So we could probably sign off as soon as you're ready, Mr. May. And I just had one quick request. If Mr. Lopez, Mr. Hill, and Mr. Davidson might stay on for a moment to try and schedule a meeting with me.
Okay, well, everybody else can go out to recess then, and we'll see everyone back for the 6 o'clock regularly scheduled City Council meeting. All right, thank you.
Good evening.